Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into 11 Personnel, presented by Monticello Bank. Nick Roush here with Adam Luckett on what has been a wild and crazy week. Luckett, I swear, this happens all the time, right? We're just like, all right, well, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about this week. And then all of a sudden, it's the craziest damn week you've ever heard of in your life. Absolute chaos has broken out across college football. And I love it. It's fun. But I thought this was going to be the week where we would exhale a little bit and we'd spend 20 minutes just talking about the NFL games.
Yeah, I was going to get on here and pretty much, we'll just, once Michigan makes a hire, once Harbaugh leaves and everything, we can just go ahead and do our carousel episode. Well, that's going to be a lot different kind of episode than I thought it would maybe be, really, all season. The end of an era. I mean, everything, or not everything, but just so much, one, so much has changed in college football, but this is a, like, huge change, specifically for the SEC going into this new chapter, right? Like, it changes a lot for a lot of programs. Like, you see what Tennessee, you've seen Wes Rucker and Adam Sparks and some guys that cover Tennessee are like, hey, not only did they not have to play Bama every year, but now they don't. Now they don't have to go against Nick Saban. So this changes a lot for Tennessee, and I think it's a, you know, I think it's a lot different. It's huge for Auburn. It's huge for LSU. It's huge for, you know, Texas A&M if they ever get it together. If they want to break through, Georgia. That's the only team they could not beat. That's the only team Kirby could not master. He was 1-5, I believe, against Nick Saban. The only win. They lost previously in the same season, and they probably don't beat that team if Jameson Williams and John Metchie don't get hurt. They caught a couple breaks there. And so it was that this was the one big obstacle, I think, in everyone's way, obviously. And now that that's potentially out of the league, SEC-wise, it just changes everything. It makes it easier for potentially Texas to come in here. And for us as a college football community, we get to see wild and crazy Alabama fans. We've seen them. We have seen them, but not like this. Not without the guiding light. The iron fist behind all of their trash talk. They do not have that anymore, and that is in itself is going to be highly entertaining. And it's the first coaching search Alabama's done on Twitter. Like, Twitter wasn't around when they hired him 06 or whatever. So it's a whole new era, and it just, like, it's, college football's going to miss him, and it, like, we'll talk about how his greatness forever, but there is a kind of a refreshing, like, man, this is going to be kind of, it's going to be different and new. That's until no one can beat Kirby, but, it's fun just to picture what it could look like. And I think it's fun for a lot of teams in this league now that that's out of the way.
It did. His iron grip on the SEC was much more firm years ago when it did get to a point where we were like, is he ever going to go away? Like, this isn't even fun anymore.
Right. He makes Urban Meyer quit in 2009.
Yeah.
And it was just, he had a death grip on the conference for a long time there. And then Kirby Smart left, and it kind of looked like, oh, maybe he'll get them. And that never, he did, but he didn't. Like, they became this great program, but they still struggled head-to-head against Alabama. And you had a couple teams would rise up and have, like, historic years, you know, Auburn, LSU. But he might have had a lot to do with that, with those teams having those years, because they had to push the envelope to get that high because they were chasing a megastar. An absolute freight train rolling downhill. So, and it's gone. It's over. I mean, Nick, you just go to his Wikipedia and just look at the graph they have in there that has all the years charted. I mean, it's just an incredible run he had.
They averaged 12 wins a season. Averaged.
Yeah.
That includes the bad years, right? I mean, that is unbelievable. And I'm not going to try to be redundant here because, you know, plenty of people have heard all of the odes to greatness with Nick Saban. But, you know, the one real bit, I think the biggest winner here has to be Hugh Freeze because Auburn is not an, like, that place is a nut house. Like, their highs are the highest and their lows are the lowest. And when he came in there, you were like, who wants to go to Auburn when Georgia and Alabama are just playing murder ball right now mm-hmm. with the rest of college football? Like, that, there's no, it's the dead end, right? There's no way out. And he even mentioned it at last year at Media Days. Like, basically, my tenure is going to be decided in my first two recruiting classes. Well, he got a damn good recruiting class. And now that Saban's gone, we already saw five-star Ryan Williams, wide receiver. He opened up, he decommitted, and there's crystal balls for him to go to Auburn. Hugh Freeze still needs a quarterback there, but if he can find one of those, like, you know, all of a sudden there is a light at the end of the tunnel that they didn't see before. Some of that comes with hanging tough in that game too. It's a rivalry. It's always going to be close there, but this power vacuum, it's all happening when Texas and Oklahoma come in too, right? There's a lot on the table. Unfortunately, Auburn is on the schedule next year, though. I don't like that. I was kind of like, there was a moment when people were like, oh, Lane Kiffin, when it initially happened. I'm like, oh, man, I would love to see chaos erupt in Oxford before Kentucky goes down there. That would be nice. But it might actually backfire because Kirby Smart, who's on your schedule next year, it might make him stronger, right? Like, all these teams that have something to gain, like, there's opportunity now that previously wasn't there. And the weirdest part of this all, Luckett, is in my mind, like, the timing makes sense just from a – we've seen a lot of guys who probably would have gone an extra couple of years, but the nil and transfer portal, they were just like, this is too much. I just need to stop now. Coach K, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, like, those were older guys. I know it's a different sport, but they got out of it early, probably a couple years earlier than they would have liked to because the portal and all that just made their lives crazy. This, plus the 12th team, plus the Oklahoma and Texas, like, there, so much change was happening. The timing was right from that standpoint from Saban. But this is the only time he doesn't have an obvious choice sitting there at coordinator just waiting to step into his job. Probably, like, if you went through his Rolodex, maybe the second time in 17 years there wasn't just an obvious answer on his own coaching staff.
Yeah, I think for that it's a little bit of bad luck if you're Alabama because of that situation and how it developed. There's been talk this week about how they really wanted Sark to be the next guy. And he got sick of waiting and went to Texas. And so that left you with a weird situation with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien leaves. You go and have to hire Tommy Reese. Pete Golding was a guy that was around for a long time. So he seemed like Saban really liked. But they had to move on after 4 or 5 years with him. So they bring in Kevin Steele. Kevin Steele decides to retire this offseason. And so they're kind of in a tough spot here. And you kind of look at former assistants. It's not like there's someone out there doing a really good job at a second-tier program. And Mike Locksley is a name being floated out, but he's doing a good job. I think Maryland has won 3 straight bowl games, respectable in the Big Ten, but that's not necessarily who an Alabama-type hire. And so they're just in a difficult spot, and there's not a clear, like, slam dunk. And there's not even, like, the star coordinator at a powerhouse program that you could hire. There's not a Dan Lanning. There's not a Kirby Smart. There's not a Lincoln
Glenn
Riley.
Schumann's like 2 or 3 years away from being that guy.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so it's just unfortunate for Alabama. And this happens probably 2 years after Dabo really loses a lot of
his shine.
Yeah. And all that makes it an unfortunate situation. But regardless, you're following the best to ever do it. So that bar is going
no matter what.
That bar is going to be so high. And you look at a guy like Kalen DeBoer, who seems like the favorite for this job as of right now. Mm-hmm. This is a dude with an impeccable record. He's won everywhere he's been.
I mean, he made Indiana decent at football as a coordinator. Yeah. Like, that's,
but
I mean,
he's
God couldn't do that.
He's good, but this is different. Like, it is a talent accumulation. It's a talent accumulation game down here. And there's a lot of stuff you have to do as the Alabama head football coach. And a lot of it centers around maybe rolling up them sleeves, and getting in the dirt a little bit, because you got to go get players. On top of, you know, kissing babies and all the other stuff you have to do. And so for him, he doesn't strike me as a guy, Nick, that wants to do all that. So that, I mean, the fit there would be interesting. I think he's a really good coach, but I just don't know. I would bet on it not working.
Better Brian Harsin, right? Like, just a better X's and O's Brian Harsin.
Yeah, essentially, he could go 9-3, 9-3, and they'll want to fire him. Like, that's what we're walking into here with Alabama. Yeah. That's why this is so fascinating to see how this shakes out here over the next couple of years. And it's a no-win situation for whoever comes in here. The bar is so high, right? And then if you lose a game to Auburn, they're really going to want your ass out of there, right? And then we might actually get Iron Bowls that aren't maybe elite. Maybe we'll get a couple unranked versus unranked eventually.
Ooh, the Egg Bowl will take its place. We'll get Jeff Lebby and Lane Kiffin putting up 120 points, while meanwhile the Iron Bowl's laying duds.
Yeah, it's just there's a whole generation of football fans, Nick. I mean, even guys my age probably don't really remember Saban without Saban. I mean, I'd have to go back to high school. Young high school before they didn't have Nick Saban. And so it's been a long time since they haven't had this guy. And a lot of people are going to have to – it's just going to look different. Alabama has a struggle. And they deserve some regression to the mean over there for how high they've had it.
They deserve a Billy Gillespie, right? Like, they're due for that because they've had plenty. And I'm not trying to compare Saban to Cal because Saban's record is much better. It's much more consistent. But – Alabama and Kentucky basketball are very similar just in the respect that it's not a one-coach deal, right? Like, a lot of these – I mean, Florida State's Bobby Bowden University, and then they had one other guy win with Jimbo. Like, a lot of these big-time programs for Georgia, hell, it was Vince Dooley. And that was it for the longest time. You had a Tubby Smith kind of Mark Richt there. That was pretty good, but hell, Tubby even won the big one. My point being is that Alabama has had – is it five or six different coaches that have won titles? They've had a lot. Not just Bear, like Gene Stallings won at least one, maybe two. There's a lot in between. I've been to that statue park. I forget all the names. You know, Wallace Wade. I'm pretty sure that – or no, sorry. Wallace Wade was Duke, right? And then Bryant Denny.
Frank Thomas.
Not the –
not
guy
Big Hurt.
Taking the eugenics total T.
Eugenics total T. Which is
not the guy who was dead, but not dead.
The commercial with him and Flutie on the driving range is one of the funniest commercials on television. And she'll like it too. That's right at the end.
And it's on Fine Bomb all the time. That and the stupid the bar blender thing.
And there's a new one on Fine Bomb. It's with Vivica A. Fox. It's like a. I haven't really figured out what it is, but it's kind of like, I think it's like a money management thing or how to invest your money or something.
I'm sure it's rock solid.
Every time I watch Fine Bomb and I see the commercials, I'm like, man, the average person that watches this has to be like 72 years old with these commercials.
Oh, man. Let's talk about some of the fun names that are out there. I think my overall point was, though, is that Alabama's had lows. They've had dumb hires. Look up Mike Price, the Sports Illustrated story on Mike Price yelling "Roll Tide" while he's in a hotel room with a bunch of paid help, if you will.
Just find out. I mean, if you want to just Google Mike Price Alabama, open up an internet wormhole for you.
Yeah, they've had some stuff not go their way. And so they're due. And that's why it gave me great joy to see some of the names out there. One of them that you sent me that was a secondary option was our favorite nerd that crawled out of a locker this year that would just live in it in Tuscaloosa, Eli Drinkwitz. Not sure what his agent was doing there to get him in the mix for Football Scoop, but that was funny. The one that really would, I think it would really put the other program back quite a bit and would probably fail it out. It would be a Charlie Strong move, is Mike Norvell. Mike Norvell would do a Charlie Strong, right? Because he'd had a good thing going at Florida State. Like, oh, wow, they're right there. They're knocking on the door of being like a legitimate, consistent threat at the top of college football. He leaves, they go down the toilet, and then at the next school, he's just not good enough. I could very well see that play out between Florida State and Alabama if they end up getting Mike Norvell.
Yeah, it would be interesting to leave Florida State for Alabama. Believe Bama tried to hire Bobby Bowden at one time. So if that happened, I'm sure those stories will pop up. Everything that Florida State's going through, right? ACC, fighting to get out, fighting for respect, saying they got screwed over, hating the SEC, hating ESPN. Then if the head coach goes and leaves one of the premium football programs in the SEC,
they might just have to quit.
They're just going to fight everyone that comes in their path. And then their offensive coordinator got suspended tonight for 3 games next year. They've got some violations coming their way for basically the coach, their offensive coordinator, Alex Atkins, and their one of their collectives for having illegal contact, I believe, when Georgia tackled Amarius Mims. There was that rumor whenever he almost transferred and ended up staying at Georgia. He's going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be like the second or third tackle off the board in this draft. They tried hard to get him. They didn't get him. And that appears who that's regarding. And so they're in trouble for that. And so if Norvell left them, with everything going on with Florida State right now, with the lawsuit against the Atlantic Coast Conference, they want to get out of that conference. And then that, now they have some violations for legal NIL kind of stuff. If you believe them for an Alabama job where, he'd be walking into an impossible situation. It's the opposite of Florida State, where Florida State, they need we need you to be our savior. And then at Alabama, it's totally opposite. Like, if you're not good enough, bro,
see ya.
Hit the door. Cause we're not waiting around. And so, yeah, it would just be wild if that happened. But it does look like him and DeBoer are the top two candidates right now. And again, it's just not – the situation for a search is not great for them right now. So kind of fascinated to see how this turns out.
Yeah. That dynamic is wild. It would also just like further denigrate the ACC, which I'm all for. Who would be a home run hire, Luckett, in your mind? Is there one person, like, realistically, that, okay, this person will keep Alabama not at Saban level, but will still make them competitive and win the SEC and a playoff team every other year? Like, a Ryan Day, if you will, right? Because, like, that's kind of what Ryan Day's been at Ohio State. It's like he's either going to win the Big Ten or come in second every year. And then go to the playoff when he does win it. Is there somebody out there for this Alabama job that you could see this happening?
Will Kirby Smart come back? Will he leave his alma mater? I mean, that's the answer. I don't think there is one. Just go conference by conference, Nick. Like, Big Ten, who are the top coaches there? Ryan Day, James Franklin, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is about to leave. I don't think you want James Franklin. And I don't think Ryan Day is some shines off him at the moment. So ACC, Dabo Sweeney, Mike Norvell, Bear Braun. Don't think they're really super interested in any of those three. Well, other than Norvell. And then Dabo's the one where I think Alabama fans are upset, but I think as soon as he stepped in front of the mic and hit them with the Alabama, I'm from Alabama, I understand right. Alabama, I think he could get people all in, and he's done it. And he might just be that he might just need a fresh start and get away from
the timing.
Tommy
would work out for him well. It's just that
would he use the portal and would he buck against some of the stuff at Alabama that he's fighting against at Clemson right now. But I think he makes probably the most sense. And if you ask me who is their best chance to make them a somewhat perennial title contender or to win a national, let's say win a national championship at Alabama, of all the candidates, I think he would probably be the best one. And then I think Lane Kiffin's out there. I think there's a lot of variance with Kiffin if he took the Alabama job. But there's a lot of important people, it sounds like, that aren't fans of him. Greg McElroy said on his radio show today that he's got a lot of burned bridges at Alabama. And remember what he did last year going into that game, Nick. Like, was pretty much accusing Saban of making a coaching change but not announcing it, saying Kevin Steele wasn't calling the defense, T-Rod was calling the defense. And he did some other things, I think, on Twitter, like retweeting about maybe Saban being washed or all of that. And like, I don't think they really love some of his antics since he has left. And this is a guy they had to fire before a national championship. It probably cost them in that national championship game. I believe it was 2018. And they lost. And they
They fired him? I thought he left.
Well, yeah, I think it was – it depends who you ask. I would.
Yeah, but didn't he go straight from there to Ole Miss?
No, he was at Florida Atlantic. He was doing – he was working at – he left to go to Florida Atlantic.
And he was going to stay on and call plays.
Yeah, it was the 2016 title because it was the first one they lost to Clemson because they won it in 15 with them, beat Clemson. Next year they were going to play Clemson. But they beat Michigan State in the first round. And after that, because he was doing – like working for Florida Atlantic and doing stuff when they were really supposed to be preparing for – the playoffs. So he was on Alabama company time doing Florida Atlantic work. And so they ended up firing him. But I think that year him and Saban really went at each other. And I think that was the season when we saw the biggest kind of Saban blow ups on the sideline.
Here's the genesis of it all. Cause you mentioned the Dabo stuff and you mentioned the Kiffin stuff. A lot of this is just like, they're mad now. But if they can get you wins, then it doesn't matter. Especially with Dabo. Like, a lot of the Dabo hate, they would love that all shuck stuff if he was their guy.
Right. They would eat it up.
It's just that he beat him in national championship games twice. I mean, that's it. That's why they don't like him. And the other part of it, too, is Dabo can't do his holier-than-thou transfer portal stuff if he wants this job. And then it comes down to how bad do you want it.
Yeah, because they're not going to stand for it. Right.
And also, you can't – I mean, you just can't win at Alabama if you don't do the portal. I mean, I don't care how good of a recruiter you are, Dabo. And I don't care how good of a hire you get at offensive coordinator is. You have
to. Yeah, I think it would be a great opportunity for Dabo just to kind of reset, to reset everything.
And he's not that old either. I mean, you know, he's 52, got one more run in him. Yeah, yeah. Hell, he can coach 8 more years. Easy. Not even bad an eye. So
yeah, I think he makes a lot of sense for them in the position they're in. But it doesn't. At least early reports indicate that that's not going to happen.
It's fascinating to watch this all unfold. It's hard to know who to trust, but you can't always trust Monticello Bank, proud presenting sponsors of 11 Personnel. It's where people matter. They've been in business for 124 years now. Oh, yeah, add another year to that because they've been putting people first. No matter what your banking needs are, Monticello Bank, they'll get it taken care of for you. Download the GoNBC mobile app to bank wherever you want to bank and visit nbcbank.com. Monticello Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, proud presenting sponsors of 11 Personnel. Looking on the Kentucky side of things, my radio partner TJ Walker said, "Wow, I think Saban's really overreacting to the Christian Story news."
I saw that. I had a tweet there, TJ.
That was a great tweet by TJ because, yeah, it was two and a half hours before Saban had his meeting at 4 to tell his team, and this news popped off about 2:30. I know because I was picking up kids from daycare and all this as it happened. And this was another kind of portal addition out of nowhere, Luckett, where we hadn't heard about many guys coming to campus, and the ones that they did or didn't, nothing materialized or they went elsewhere. It looked like Kentucky was done in the portal, but instead they get this guy from Alabama who has a lot of pedigree, Luckett, but hasn't played much in the secondary for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, with him, I think that my first takeaway was this, and it remained this after I kind of dug in. This is my belief. This is not any inside intel. I think Kentucky was disappointed with their safety play, as they probably maybe should have been, and they don't want to get in that situation again. So it's really kind of, hey, Jordan Lovett, we need you to play better. And so we're bringing this guy in to potentially be a starter here. And we'll see. And so they're going to have four safeties now, Nick, with 200-plus SEC snaps, where they had two on the team last year. And that's not even counting Alex Safari, who's going to play in the box. But I think Story here is just an addition to address depth and raise the floor of the secondary. So they're going to have options in the back end. This was a guy who had an historic high school career. Played quarterback, set the Alabama state records for total yards and total touchdowns during his career. Won multiple state championships. Played in the secondary. Was a really good athlete who made the transition full time to defense. Tuscaloosa was a reserve for a long time. Didn't really see playing time until this past year, where he was kind of their fourth safety, and now he's looking for a chance to start. Kentucky's going to give him an opportunity to come compete for a starting job. And for me, it's really Kentucky is trying to supplement that safety room. They weren't happy, I don't think, with the play they got out of that position, a position we thought might be a strength for them entering the season. And so now they're looking to add to that and to raise the floor of that position.
Yeah, and I love the – you always got to feel good when it's Alabama transfer to Kentucky. You're like, yes. Boom. There is – this is still a –
it's kind of a Darian Henry Young.
Yeah. Addition, except at least of. Darian Henry Young, you had more real estate with and you recruited him. So you were, like, we knew Darian Henry Young because, I mean, he visited, I remember him being at the bar with Paris Johnson, right? Like when Vince was recruiting him, right? So it's a little bit different. But I think the position was a little bit of a surprise. And the fact that you just don't know if he's a, like, can he be the guy that's a starter, I don't know. That's kind of a risk you take. But it is abundantly clear, though, Luckett, that they're kind of out on G5 guys. It's heavy Big Ten or SEC or – sorry. Like, we're not.
I want to see if this is just a one-year thing or if this is strategy moving forward year over year.
It's kind of been – I crunched the numbers, and I don't have them pulled up. It's one of those
things. It was an early strategy. You're right. Yeah, the first transfer class with Wandale, that was all P5 transfers, I believe.
And they've had fewer in – but, like, this year, I mean, even Jamori Macklin started in Missouri. Fred Ferrier is the only G5 guy, and they wouldn't take him if he wasn't from Frankfort. You know what I mean? Like, I think that part played a factor. So, like, they're very much all in on – guys who have been at this level and kind of know the expectations, the consistency, the work ethic that it takes to be in a program like this. So I think that matters. And it also matters where they're looking to for offensive linemen, right? I wasn't sold on the Jacksonville State kid that ended up at West Virginia. Well, it turns out they had another iron in the fire because Gerald Mincy, that has kind of come out of nowhere. Fun blast from the past. I love that. So Gerald Mincy and Richie Leonard, they were the first two commitments in the 2020 class, offensive linemen from Florida. This is back when you got verbals in February at, like, junior days. And I was like, here's a commitment. And then in the back of your mind, you're like, there's no way this is sticking. Like, that's just how it worked, right? You'd get some kids from out of state, commit early, and then, like, once they actually started getting deeper to their visits, they switch, all that happens. Well, both of them entered the portal this year, and it was like, ooh, I wonder if Kentucky's going to be in on any of them. So Mincy started his career at Florida, didn't play any for Mullen. Mullen gets fired. He transfers to Tennessee. And then he's played a lot, like a lot of football there, without being a starting starter sort of deal. It's been, which I found to be kind of weird, but he started half the season each of the last 2 years at both tackle spots. He was at left, or it was left and then right, correct?
Yes.
But he, yeah. So he's played both a ton. He has 1,000 snaps in the SEC. And I'd like to point out, I don't understand Walker Yaw coming in here being like, Ole Miss 24/7 reporting that he's visiting this weekend. The guy you're listening to right now reported that on the KS board that you read. So read it. That was on there this morning. We had it first. Let's go read it. It was there.
And 247 did have a report, and it kind of confirming what you're hearing was basically like Ole Miss is out here. Yeah, so it's probably going to be Kentucky. So.
Yeah, they felt very good about it, and then I don't know what kind of voodoo Vince Mero has been cooking up over there, because Mincy planned on visiting last weekend, and then that didn't happen, and then it was even up until Tuesday, Ole Miss was confident that he was going to be there this weekend, and then I learned today that he was going to be at Kentucky this weekend, and it was like, well, we'll see who's right, the Kentucky guys with Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has since confirmed what we said over there. I appreciate it, Matty G. But like, this is, I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and just put a starting crown on Gerald Mincy. I don't know what, but like, hell yeah. You get that guy in here. That Kentucky needs tackles bad. And to get a dude with multiple starts over multiple seasons in the SEC, like, hell yeah, sign me up. Sign me up for that.
I think similar to the Christian Story recruitment, Gerald Mincy raises the floor at tackle. Marcus Cox is a locked-in starter at left tackle.
Yes.
But he gives you real, legitimate competition with Cortland Ford. And if something were to happen to Cortland Ford, you have a guy. If he doesn't win the starting job, you have a guy that's played snaps in this league and can play both spots. So even if something happened to Marcus Cox. So it gives you depth, I think, at tackle. Legitimate, solid depth. It allows you to keep Dylan Ray at guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have options, right? I mean, you have Jagger Burton, Dylan Ray, Ben Crispin, Jalen Farmer at guard. And then you have three guys at tackle. And then you have Eli Cox. That's eight. You got eight guys right there I think you would feel comfortable with. But you've needed to go to the transfer portal to get six of them. So to prevent this from happening in the future, you'd like to just develop the guys in your room. And so when you're shopping in the portal, especially at offensive line, you're not getting that ceiling too high. You know, you're shopping to raise the floor. And you're shopping to not be terrible. Like, let's just get an adequate base level of play here for our line. And that's what Kentucky is doing. And so what they're going to have here, Nick, I think, is legit competition in spring and fall camp on the offensive line. And that's going to help a lot. Specifically, just 2 years ago, they hardly could practice because a couple guys got hurt and they just didn't have anyone.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have legitimate competition in every spot. Hurt. Right.
I mean, it was literally after every practice. Well, we've had to move some guys around because there's been some guys going down. It's like, so you mean you haven't practiced with your best five once in the month of August? That's.
And to get back to your Power Five recruitment, this Kentucky transfer portal class has five national title rings in it. Jamin Dooms Johnson has two. Brock Vandegrift has two. And Christian Story is bringing one from his true freshman season. So these guys have seen the best of the best. Hell, and Jamin Dooms Johnson has played and contributed to a national title team.
Was that 21 wins in the last two seasons for Tennessee?
Right. Yeah, Mincy was on a Tennessee team that was in the thick of the playoff hunt in November.
Yeah. Crazy. So that could be an enormous addition. So here's the thing. I don't understand transfer portal rules. I thought I knew them. I don't. I think he'd have to commit by tomorrow, but it might be different for grads. I don't know. There are no rules. I don't understand it. But
first rule of transfer portal is there are no rules.
Oh, gosh, there really are not rules. And you know what? There also are not rules at New sponsor alert. Big fan of this new sponsor that's joining 11 personnel here for the next couple of weeks. Look it, I don't know about you, but I'm back on my fitness bullshit, and I'm loving what Refocus Fitness is offering, because our friends here at this gym in Lexington, I know there's a lot of different gimmicks and stuff that people try to get you to sign up, to get you to use their gym. Refocus Fitness, great location, easy to get to from a lot of places in Lexington, right by the Aldi, right by the Fayette Mall, off Nicholasville Road. It's a gym that has 24/7 access. And my wife had a gym like this in her hometown where you can, anytime, night or day, you just, all right, I need to get on the treadmill. I can't go to sleep. Boom. You don't have to worry about that. And another part that's great too, they limit the memberships there. So it's not going to be crowded. It's not going to be crazy. And they offer personalized training at Refocus Fitness where the consultation is completely free. And hell, you can work with small groups of three or four where you're on a daily routine, right? Or a 3 or 4 day week routine where you're working with people kind of like in your lifting group back when you were at St. X, right? Where you're kind of competing against one another. Or you can just do that consultation. They set the playbook for you and you grab life by the horns at Refocus Fitness. Visit them right now, refocusfitness.com. No contracts, no hidden fees, no crazy startup costs. Check out what they've got to offer for you today and get back on it. Hopefully you can get back on the treadmill, on the elliptical, whatever it might be. I'm on the bike now. Hopefully you're watching us, enjoying us, and give us check out Refocus Fitness today. I'm jumping out of order, Peak. I'm going to apologize because I want to end with Wild Card Weekend. It makes me excited. but we were discussing the transfer portal, and we mentioned it briefly, but I saw some more transfer portal flips happening that wasn't a thing until recently. Louisville was on the right side of a couple and on the wrong side of a couple too. The Ball State tight end they were really high on, he went back to Ball State instead of going to Louisville. But then they got a big kid from Tennessee. So there's a lot going on Floyd Street right now.
Yeah, and then they lost Jalen Kimber today. Original Georgia corner transferred to Florida, transferred again, committed to Louisville. Now he's headed to Penn State, along with A.J. Harris, also committed to Penn State today.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a lot of action going on over there, Nick. Louisville's going to add 30-plus transfers this cycle. They're already over 20. They're like 22, 23. They're taking dudes from Tuskegee, but they're also taking dudes from Alabama, two secondary players from Tennessee, two players from Texas Tech. So across the board, they're taking a guy from Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Isaiah Cummings. They are taking 30-plus. And I may or may have not became a radio topic this week on some Louisville radio shows that KRC affiliated.
Was it was it Strebel show or was it Diener?
I don't know if it was Diener, but I was
Diener. I put in the penalty box. So
friend of the program told me that I was a topic on Mark Ennis' show.
I love it.
The other day, and Mark's also a friend of the program. So no hard feelings. But I went on Twitter I think Tuesday and I basically called Louisville a portal program, and I basically said, Jeff Rom is punting on high school recruiting. Is that a false statement?
No, fuck it. I mean.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Their actions are saying it. I mean, I don't...
You know what the tell's going to be, Nick? Here's the tell. There's a kid at Louisville Male.
Yeah.
An interior offensive lineman. Spike South Carolina's Sells. Interested. Louisville, Kentucky, some others. Spike Souls.
Yeah.
You know, he's right now he's a three-star prospect. So it's not like he's this huge guy that's going to blow up. But I think it's going to be a guy that Kentucky and Louisville are both going to want. We'll see how that all that plays out. But if it is, we'll find out. Hell,
think tied his dad in. Might be connected. I know his dad played at IU, but I think there is some connection there to U of L.
Here's the point I was trying to come across. I don't think what they're doing is wrong necessarily. I have doubts that it'll work long term if you keep portaling 30 guys a class. But you looked at their recent recruiting success since they've gotten an ACC. It's not been good.
They're recruiting like most ACC schools in the 50s.
Yeah, and so this is a way I think for them to gain on their peers. And so I don't fault them for doing it. And this trend started Satterfield's last year when he went out and got Tyler Harrell, when he went out and got Tyon Evans, went out and got Jarvis Brownlee, and some other transfers for them. They were like, oh, this is successful. Louisville has NIL money. Most of that, Nick, is going to portal players.
Yeah, not to the high school. Like,
they had one class, and it was Steve Clarkson driven.
Yeah,
with they got some help from Adidas, probably from Steve Clarkson, and then now all their money is tied up in the portal. So the reason they're having a good portal class is one, it's quantity over quality. A lot of times they're one of three or four schools that are looking to add 30 players from the portal. Most of these schools don't want to add 30 players.
No,
and so that's where all their salary cap is focused. I mean, the signs are there that that's how they want to do it. And so that's what Louisville is doing right now. So when you see, like, and I think there's some people on KS Board even that are like, Kentucky doing what Louisville is doing? But that is a choice. Kentucky's not doing that because they have Jacob Smith, they have Gerard Smith, they have Brian Robinson, they have Tyrion Nichols in their high school recruiting class. That's why they're not going out and spending maybe, or they have money they're spending on transfers.
We need to,
but
go
they
get
don't
ahead.
Have maybe a, it's not as centralized focused on that. They're spending money, their NIL money, on high schoolers too.
Got to get an edge. It's like, yeah, they're in high school. They're not in the portal, right? Like, not everything has to be portal driven. And I've had my separate fights with people over Louisville and their portal behavior. And look, I know very well that their primary focus is on portal players. They're prioritizing that. That's me putting it very nicely. I also know very well that it worked pretty well last year.
Yeah.
Is it going to? Is it? But
they're doubling down, right?
Is it going to work? And the biggest issue that I worry about for them, like personally, because they're my family. I like them. Losing the developmental pieces is big. Like, losing Kevin Coleman is huge. Amari Huggins-Bruce, like, those. Why run those aren't guys that should be running off, right? Like, those are the – that's where you get into a it can really strain you.
Yeah.
Because you're building a team with free agents. And, I mean, we saw it last year with Kentucky where, like, part of their big problem is the lack of culture. Because they're in a mercenary culture. Like, it's very difficult. So, from a long-term basis, a lot of the angst, I think, from Kentucky fans is just the, like, look what they're doing over there. Like, there's a lot of short-term bump you get from all that. But, like, I go back to each team's first edition, and I would never trade Brock Vandegrift for Tyler Shuck. And are they going to be wondering if they would trade Jack Plummer for Tyler Shuck? I mean, it's fair. And the other part of this too, like, it, if they're doing this method, are they ever going to be able to get a good quarterback in the portal? If they got to spend all this money elsewhere, like, it's a salary cap game, right? Like, I don't know how they – is it ever going to be possible for them to spend big on a quality quarterback, or is he just going to be having to coach a bunch of Jack Plummers year after year?
Yeah, what does he want? But I think what Brohm said publicly, Nick, you can confirm this for me or agree with me if you want, but he said there's a lot of pressure on him to win right away here. It's not, he doesn't feel like he can take a 5-7 year.
That's true.
And so the best way to do that, man, is to just portal. And there's a balance you have to have, but they are very much leaning into it as hard as any program in the country. They get compared with Ole Miss a lot, Nick, and they're more Colorado than Ole Miss. Ole Miss is going to sign 18, 19 guys. They're doing a lot of portaling. Maybe they could get up to 20. But Louisville's going to be up there with Colorado, like 30-something guys. And they ended up getting up there last year. They were around 16 at the, I think, 16, 17 after the winter portal. And then the spring, they added like 10 more guys. And so what, like, to me, I'm looking at them, and if they lose players, they're probably just going to portal some more guys in. So they're not going to be done in the spring. And a lot of this reaction, you know, this is all, it's a really, it's almost like in June, teams will start banking commits, mm-hmm. and a team like Stanford will have a top 10 class for a minute, and Stanford will get buzzed in the summer because there's really nothing else going on. This is what you have to talk about. It's like, look at Troy Taylor and Stanford, you know, recruiting a top 10 class. Well, you know, if you average star rating it, it would really finish like 47th. and that's what they ended up. So a lot of this, it's almost like, I don't want to call it fake juice because it does matter. It's a little more important because these are guys that are going to play right away.
Right.
But a lot of it's just overreaction to getting players and getting commitments that are going to be on your team. But it's definitely a different era. And I even think, even myself, and I think everyone else is trying to figure out, like, what's the best way to do this? Like, your best way to get in a bunch of portal guys, is it not? What positions are of value in the portal and what are not? And all of that, how do you meld all that stuff? It's just a different time.
It does feel like Ole Miss's isn't too much different than Kentucky's, where you know you have to make up for some of your high school recruiting woes by performing well in the portal. Because Ole Miss is, I mean, Hugh Freeze can't drop bags like he used to because everybody can drop bags now. So the Robert Kim Dichi class, you know, where you're number one in the country, that can't happen anymore. I don't know. What's Ole Miss, like 10th in high school recruiting, which is great. It's no slouch. But to be in the same company as the top four, you've got to go get some big names out there, some heavy hitters. And that's kind of what, you know, Kentucky's trying to do. Bofa, I think that is a little bit more conservative. And I don't know, you know. But like you said, there's a million different ways to slice a cat. Actually, it's skin a cat, not slice it. You don't want to actually cut it.
Yeah, and to wrap it up, Louisville's a transfer portal program.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
and
with
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that take is right. And I think I'll be proven that take is right. Jeff Brohm's recruiting the same high schools that he recruited at Purdue. Like, guys, he recruited Kentucky at Purdue.
I love they were like, well, he's got to establish his relationships. Oh, Jeff Brohm's got to establish relationships in Kentucky and Indiana and Ohio.
Yeah, like he does. Like he's not a walking legend. Whenever he walks in the Trinity, he's got St. X's head coach's son is on his staff. He's got one of Mel's best players of all time is a running backs coach. Like, there's plenty of connections over there. Like, it's not like they got to take time to get to know the high school coaches in the city.
Hey, but they want portal players, and that's abundantly clear. Like, they just want to load up on portal players. Just like I want to talk NFL, but you wanted to make a point about the national championship that did happen this week. It feels like it happened 100 years ago. Because what's even more hilarious, Luckett, is like, we spent a lot of time on Saban, but I mean, just think about this week. Saban, Carroll, Belichick.
And Harbaugh eventually.
Yeah, Harbaugh's next. I mean, they're just basically just like, it's all but official to this point. And hell, and all of this Vrabel got fired. I mean, like, what the hell's going on here? So it does feel like if you're in the market for a coach, this is a good time to be in the market for head coach. I know some Chicago Bears fans that would love to be in a market for head coach, but they're sticking with Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, but we're going to get into the Bears this offseason because they are fascinating. Like, that's the most fascinating team, I think, when we're at the combine. Will be them and what they're going to do with those two top 10 picks. But Monday, Michigan kicked Washington's ass. Not a huge surprise. Played out like I think we thought it would. Just trenches was just... They just had the number in the trenches, and they heated up Michael Penix, and he didn't handle some of the pressure very well. But
I appreciated your advice, Luckett, because I wanted to cheer for Washington. And so I did a crazy parlay, but my, like, fail-safe to get all of my money back was to just juice the Michigan line. And, Michigan minus 13.5. Got it at, like, almost 3-1 odds. Boom. There we go. Let's get all of our money back. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, you could just see that. I just thought you could see it coming. But I had one big takeaway, really kind of, because it's hard, Nick, when you go through a season, like, to actually sit down and watch teams, because we're just at Kentucky games, right? And we're doing everything that comes along with being a game. And then you're probably playing catch-up the next week, and, you're looking at the next opponent, blah, blah, blah. So it's hard to really dig in. But I really got to watch Michigan 3 games. I got to watch them play Iowa, got to watch them play Alabama, got to sit down and watch them play on Monday. So that was 3. And watching them, I had this takeaway. How they play offense is, I think, how Mark Stoops wants to play offense. It's run the ball down your throat. It's play action. It's formation the hell out of you, motion you, and hit you with play action. Efficient passing game. But when push comes to shove, they can just run it or shove it down against you. And they protect their defense. But again, they play smart, complimentary football. I think that's what Kentucky wants to look like.
Yeah, but that's a want, but not like what you can
and Kentucky. The next point was Kentucky had the Lions to play that way, I think, for a 5-year stretch.
Yeah,
but they just don't have it anymore. And I think they've got the coordinator that can do all that stuff and really successful and really scheme up a passing game. But they've got to be able to block people right at the point of the attack, and I think that's the big issue even going into next year. Can Kentucky block playing this style of ball? But I think that's what they want to do. That's how it looks, and that's how it will play out. Not saying that they're going to win a national championship with offense or anything, but Michigan is not Alabama and Georgia where the star power is just miles away. Like, they're not a bunch of first-round picks on that offense. Right. J.J. McCarthy's probably the highest-ranked pick. Corum's going to be a mid-round tailback. I think most of those linemen on that championship team are going to be mid-round guys. You know, that tight end's going to be a draft pick, but he's not some of the tight ends they've had in the past.
Yeah, and that Roman
Wilson's a good player, but he's like a fifth. He seems like a fifth-round pick.
Good college player, right?
Yeah, and so it's not like the talent-wise, Kentucky could get there. Essentially, we're kind of close to where Michigan's at. But everything, like, just me, my takeaway from that game, like, everything tied to Michigan is just line of scrimmage. Like, line of scrimmage. We're going to run the ball down your throat, and we're going to kick your ass with our defensive front. And Kentucky just, they don't have that on the offensive line. And that's really, I think, the one thing holding them back. And the one thing I would be, over everything else, I would be worried the most. Like, can they just block people? And can they get a traditional run game going? Can they play with more efficiency? If they can't, they're going to have a lot of the same issues. So they have to kind of figure that out. And that was just my biggest takeaway from this Michigan playoff run.
Well, I enjoyed that very much. And now I'm really going to enjoy talking NFL because I'm so fired up for this weekend. Like, I hate to admit how dumb my brain is, but just calling it Super Wild Card Weekend and giving me a game on Monday night, it just makes me.
I want to ask you: would you rather have 3 Saturday, 3 Sunday, or the 2-3-1 that they're doing right now?
I think I like the 2-3-1, and it's mostly I like it even more so because Buck and Aikman are on there. And
I would hate it if the Bengals were playing a Monday night game though.
Having to wait all weekend, yeah, you don't want you to. Like, Eagles fans are just in hell because they're
like, either just end the season or give me some hope. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Like, they've lost 5 out of 6 and they got to wait all the way to Monday to play. But I've watched more Monday Night Football this year than I have in my entire life. Some of that's doing the Manning cast. Some of it's just they've gotten better games. I also like just Joe Buck and Troy Aikman calling football games. Like, they're great. They're awesome. And yeah, so I'm with it now, and I'm also with Prospects. Prospects, you know, it's one of the best daily fantasy sports ways to get in the action You can do it today. Sign up, promo code KSR. They're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. And luck it, this is just the most beautiful weekend to do it because there's so many squares that need to be pushed. And I found a way to – I only have three squares, and my odds are goosed to 11-1. So let's play here I got for us. Mason Rudolph, less than 158 passing yards. Okay? It's going to be nasty weather in Buffalo. Rudolph hasn't completed more than 18 passes in a football game. Basically, I'm just like, please don't throw two, three long passes to George Pickens, and this will get home. Second one, Aaron Jones, 100-yard rushing game at Dallas. Dallas, great against the pass, bad against the run. The Packers, I don't know. I kind of like the pack in that game. And the big reason why I like these last two picks, homecoming game for Aaron Jones. He's a Texas boy. Coming back home to Dallas, he's going to want to show out. Same thing with Tyreek Hill going back to Kansas City. Need one touchdown to cap that off, and I'll win 11 times bang for my buck with Prize Picks, the best daily fantasy sports place out there. PrizePicks.com/KSR. Download the app. Put in that promo code KSR. 100% up to $100 on your first deposit. And that brings me to my next point, Luckett. I like some dogs this weekend, Luckett. I just do. I know you see some of those lines, but there's always upsets. And Mike McCarthy blowing it to his former team, it just makes too much sense, man. It makes way too much sense. I've already got the Packers +7. And the part for me is that the Packers defense is bad. But so yes. What?
Can't confirm.
They suck. But, dude, Jordan Love, it pisses me off dealing with TJ, my Packers fan radio co-host, because it's like, dude, how do you go through life just always having great quarterbacks? His entire life has been Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now Jordan Love is going to be good. So
let's play the string out on Mr. Cupid.
Yeah, but, like, dude, he's much better than what I thought he was in year one. And if these young receivers, like, if they keep this trajectory going forward, like, they've steadily improved throughout the year. He's not Mr. Hall of Famer, but I think the Bears fans would trade for him right now. You know? I mean, straight up, just swap their guys. I think they'd do it. So, I kind of – maybe I'm just falling for them because I look over the sideline, I see Mike McCarthy's big dumbass, and I just know that he loves to mess it up. But, yeah, I like that dog. I also love the Rams, too. I think the Rams are low-key, sneaky good. And it goes against, like, part of me is just falling for the Jordan Love stuff that he showed us last week, and he played great. But I think the best play of the week is the Rams going to the Lions and beating them because that Lions defense is just an abomination. They haven't gotten better at all this year, Luckett. You would think at some point, like, they get better, but no, not the case. I don't know why Aaron Glenn – they're like, oh, we got to – maybe because they have to for the Rooney rule, but, like, Aaron Glenn stinks. That defense is bad. I don't know how they haven't gotten better, even though they have a pretty decent pass rush and a pretty decent front seven. They're terrible in the back end.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's a working principle I usually have in the playoffs is if one team has a clearly better quarterback than the other team, probably bet that quarterback. And the one game that really jumps out this weekend is Texans-Browns. Like, give me C.J. Stroud at home catching points over Joe Flacco. And against the defense that plays a lot of man.
Yeah, but Joe Flacco's elite, though, Luckett.
Okay. Okay.
We're going to see Lamar call Joe Flacco elite. I think Ravens fans just fainted when they heard that quote.
Yeah. So I like the Texans there. Other than that, I really don't – I think the Lions stink this week. Cowboys are a wagon at home.
Which is why it'd be perfect for them to lose at home.
Like, seven's a weird number.
The Packers got their number.
I think you're right. I think you could be on to something. The Packers either win or the Cowboys just pistol whip them.
Yep, true.
Like they've done every team at home except the Lions, and the Lions should have won that football game for an absolute officiating catastrophe down there in Dallas. Lions-Rams, it's a tough draw for Detroit. The Rams are playing really good football, specifically on offense. Stafford's hot. Nick Puka and Cooper Kupp are awesome. They've got that run game rolling. But the Rams have got a bunch of Joe Schmoes on defense. And the Lions have weapons all over the place. So I kind of like, I need to look at that total. I think both those teams are going to score.
I was leaning this way too, Luckett. I waited because do we know Sam Laporta's status?
I think he's going to try to play.
The only reason why I didn't jump on immediately is I've had some bad luck with overs as of late. I played more overs than I'd like to.
But they're not just half
doesn't seem like a lot though.
But right? I think people are talking. Gets you there. People are talking about the Lions. Like Laporta's awesome, but he's not even he's not their number one target. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown is their best receiver.
It feels like he's their number one red zone target, though.
Yeah.
Him and Jahmyr Gibbs, you know.
They're going to be able to do some stuff. Ben Johnson's a really good offensive coordinator. I think they're going to figure out. Dan Campbell is going to have that team ready.
They're going to be juiced.
I'm not walking to the window and betting against Dan Campbell in this spot. Because that team is going to be ready to fight. For 60 minutes,
their old quarterback. I mean,
and that building that is going to be on fire. So I'm not. Yeah, I hope they win. I'm going to be cheering for them. So I'm not. And the Lions, Nick, have been a cash ATS machine with Dan Campbell the last really year and a half. Their record, I don't have the top of my head, but it's really, really good. So I'm not going against them. But they do have the Rams got the better quarterback, so that would scare me in this game. Eagles Bucks, good luck picking that one against the number. I like the Eagles there, but how do you go to the window and bet that team based off what we've seen? And then Bills Steelers, go Bills.
This is another one like it that I love, and it's dangerous playing it now, so you might want to wait. But we've got it's a weather game, right?
Yes. And Steelers plus 14 is the play. Or whatever the line is, plus 10.
They're TJ Wattless, but right now we've got 25 sustained winds, 52 mile per hour gusts. It's going to be a 7-degree wind chill. The last time this kind of weather happened, we had the Mac Jones game, right? Where he completed two passes, or was it just attempted? Yeah, completed two passes, and they won. Was it 10-0? 7-3, something like that. It was ugly. But so under, it's a gross under. But 36.5, and also just any under Mason Rudolph props. Just whatever.
We saw some of the pumpkin Mason Rudolph last week. The two fumbles, fumbles. You know, he hits the one pass to Deontay Johnson on the third down. That was a long explosive play. But we saw some of that. Yeah, the weather is – if I was a Bills supporter, I would be disappointed in this weather development because straight up, if you play the Steelers
– crush them.
Without T.J. Watt. Yeah. Speaking of spread splits, they're out there if you want to find them. But the Steelers with Watt, you would make money off that enterprise if you bet it blind.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers without Watt, you would be homeless if you bet that blind. So – That's a big difference maker. That they don't have him, but it's different if it becomes just kind of a run game. And so that one is fascinating. Like I said, the Lions stink this week. To me, Nick, it's almost a see if the team that you think is going to win falls behind and then see what the live spread was. Last week for me, I got Jags plus 8.5, I believe, in the beginning of the beginning of the third quarter. Jumped on that. They lost by 8. So that was a nice little cover. I think what you need, that is maybe the avenue for me this week. It's just wait it out and see how some of these games develop and then jump on them when it becomes obvious which side you think is going to win, or whether it's like the Bucks get up 14-0. I don't think the Bucks are going to blow out the Eagles. I think the Eagles will come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you got it around a touchdown, I would feel good about it. So something like that that's what I'll be monitoring this weekend.
Will you be monitoring Peacock? Do you have?
I will be on the P.
Is it on the P or on the cock?
This is a golf house, so we've had Peacock for a while now.
I don't know what to make of that game either, because there's part of me that, like, the Dolphins have proven time and time again that they're frauds.
That's what we forgot. I like the Dolphins. I think they're going to win. The Chiefs stink. They're not any good. They're just not.
And it's another thing, too, that, I mean, their whole team's been hurt all year. And I know that they've lost to basically every good team they've played. But when they were wagging, it was just because they had all their guys healthy.
Yeah, they had a good schedule. Like, you go back and look at the Dolphins' schedule, they played a lot of bad teams this year. Yeah,
and there's no doubting it. But also, when they were at their best, it's just because they had everybody healthy. And that's the thing.
Are they getting Waddle and Mostert back? That would be my big question.
See, especially Mostert, because his being able to hand the ball off to him in the red zone, I felt like they really struggled with that against the Bills when the field got tight.
And but that's another weather game. That's another weather game. It's going to be like 40, minus 40 on the wind chill. So, like, how do you eat? Like, that's another one I'm not going to touch, because what does that even look like?
Right, right. And here, the other part to that game, too, is just Tua, what the hell happened to that guy? It's the guy that was nails, comes in off the bench cold in the national championship game and wins it. And then now he's just, I mean, he looks like the freaking Brucey from Longest Yard, just like, huh. When it's the end of the games. I mean, like, what the hell when is you wrong take, with that guy?
I will say one thing I've kind of noticed about the offense. When they have Waddle and Hill out there together, I mean, it is danger for opposing defenses. But if you remove just one of those guys, they get a lot easier to defend. Because it's easier, I think, to kind of shift your coverage over to one of them.
But my bigger point is just, like, he's made it was last week he made this interception, and then I forget the other two-minute interception where he just – it's like something in his – somebody
in big games, he has been disappointing throughout his Dolphins career. There's no doubt about it.
It goes back to my, like, video game playing days when you would accidentally tap the button and they would, like, throw it up really high, right, instead of
– Yeah, yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, loft it, yeah.
Yeah, and – you're like, no, I didn't mean to press it. And then it's just an arm punt. He's done that twice with under a minute to play. The other game was over in Germany, I think, right? Didn't they lose a close one over there?
They lost to the Chiefs. We were driving back from a road trip.
And his,
I don't know if it was me and you or me and Peek, but we were heading back from somewhere when that game
was
going.
His brain melted when that happened. Yeah. So that's the part of this that even, I mean, it goes back to your quarterback conversation. I trust Patrick Mahomes
at home
in cold weather instead of the Dolphins Tua guy. You know, it's just
right. That's kind of the side I'm leaning on, and I just, again, I hate it for the Lions that they're playing the Rams, because I really want the Lions in the playoffs. I would love to see them get another swing at Dallas next weekend, and so that's what I'm cheering for. And really, Nick, I kind of treat this like the NCAA tournament. I want the best matchups for next week. So, like, that's really what I'm wanting. So, I want Lions, Cowboys. Give me Lions, Cowboys next week. Whoever the Niners play doesn't, you know, I think they're going to, even if they play the Eagles, they're probably going to beat them by 10 or so.
Yeah.
Chiefs, I just don't think the Chiefs are that good. So, I'd rather see the Dolphins win. Let's see the Dolphins play. Well, I don't know if I want to see Dolphins or Ravens again. So, maybe I'll take that back. Maybe Chiefs, Bills, and then Ravens. Who's in the fourth? Ravens, Texans, I guess. But that's really what I want to see. I want the best matchups possible. Don't want to. That's the worst when you get the. You know, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament. It's fun when it happens, but then it's next week. It was like, oh, this isn't fun. It was kind of like Giants, Vikings last year.
I
Giants beat the Vikings, and they went to Philly and just got co-cocked.
I care about it more in the conference championship games. The year that we had, it was Tom Brady, Blake Bortles. Who were the other quarterbacks? It was
Nick Foles and Case Keenum.
Yeah, I mean I care more about that weekend. I enjoy this weekend now more so than the divisional round because I do think the one seeds have such a. There's going to be a one seed blowout.
Adding the extra game has been
fun.
It's been fun. Adding two more games to this has been fun.
You can't tell we're really excited about it, especially this guy in particular. And unlike the NCAA tournament, though, I can actually bet every single one of these games. I'm not sure where we're leaning yet, but you're probably going to talk me into Texans, and I might just have silly amounts of wagers on the Lions game because that one's going to be fun. It's going to be fascinating. I'm very excited for it. I also salute whoever put the Texans on the early – Texans-Browns is the perfect Saturday early wild card NFL game.
They have been in the playoffs, I think, 10 times. Every game has been the 4 o'clock Saturday.
It used to be ESPN. This year it's NBC. But
Bengals played them twice, and I remember thinking, like, man, they're in that slot a lot. And then I saw someone tweet out that it was their 10th time that they've been.
Oh,
that stadium has never had a night playoff game. They've never hosted a night playoff game. And they've been in the playoffs a ton.
A ton of playoff games. Yeah. Oh, man. It's crazy. Well, this has been a crazy
And another show. Thing I realized, Nick, the Monday night football game apparently has to be a 4-5 matchup. Like, it can't be a 2-7 or a 3-6. It has to be a 4-5.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
So I guess it's a reward for the higher seeded teams that they don't have to play on a short week.
Rest. Yeah, makes sense. Whew, man, I'm fired up. I'm excited. I appreciate y'all joining this. I'm going to be all over KS board, maybe a couple beers deep, talking about these games all weekend. Hope you'll join it. Hope we get a Gerald Mincy commitment in the next couple days. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Download the On3 app and have your notifications on to make sure you know exactly when it happens. And this has been fun. Which, by the way, we're on a Thursday. We're going to be here almost every Thursday night moving forward throughout the offseason, with a couple exceptions when Kentucky basketball plays on Wednesday. We'll change things up. But, hey, we'll let you know. We'll keep you in the loop. But we appreciate you joining us. Until next time, go Cats and go Krogery.